story of Bangladesh is about changing the whole logic of the global garment industry. For several years, the global retailers were placing their production in Bangladesh for simple reasons, for the extremely low wages and practically no union presence. That was a profoundly unsustainable production model. Slave labor wages, as Pope Francis called them, 60 to 66 hours working weeks, no union presence, and the worst of all, since 2005, 1,800 workers, often young women and men, died in factory fires and building collapses. So Philip and I, more than a year ago, we were developing our ideas, and then we came up with this idea of a global supply chain strategy. Industry, all manufacturing, uni, commerce and retail, ITF, transport. We couldn't get very long at that point, and then Rana Plaza collapsed, and suddenly everything was clear to us. That changed the dynamics. It's tragic that we needed 1,100 dead young men and women to create this change. But thanks to our campaign, with the ITUC joining, NGOs, governments, huge media reaction, industry all and uni have managed to force 174 leading global retailers and brands to sign a legally binding agreement. This historic legally binding accord on fire and building safety in Bangladesh covers more than 2 million workers, almost 2,000 factories in an industry where you have annual exports of more than $20 billion. The core of the accord is that we are inspecting, our wonderful team of 100 inspectors are inspecting 1,600 factories by September, publishing the reports on the website. It's public to everyone, and then they are proposing repair programs. The key commitment from the clothing brands is that they have to find funding together with the factory owners for making these repairs. It is a difficult five-year project, but we will make the Bangladeshi garment industry safe and sustainable. And that's not all. The government finally last November decided to, after a lot of campaigning and mobilization, to raise the minimum wage from $38 to $67 a month, a 77% increase. It's still a shamefully low poverty wage, but it's the first step towards a living wage. And that is our target, that is a campaign that needs to continue. And how do you do that campaign? By organizing the workforce. Still, more than a year ago, there was practically no unions in these 4,000 factories. During the past 3 years, only two local unions have been registered because of resistance by government and by employers. And then ITUC worked together with uni and industry all to change the labor law and above all to put pressure on country, on the government to allow registering of unions. And now the start of the next success story is that the unions of NASMA and others have during the past 13 months managed to organize more than 50,000 workers in 150 companies. Now, obviously, there is a potential of at least 3.5 million more. So I'm asking you all to join us in this important organizing campaign. I just come from the Union Congress of IF Metall in Sweden, and all the Congress delegates decided to give a part of their Congress per diems for organizing in Bangladesh. So we have started a change, a global change in the garment industry. Philip, where do we go next? Is it Pakistan or the Dominican Republic, where sometimes the workers are working in slave-like conditions in the textile factories, in the EPZs? And then next sector, I think it's electronics. Steve, it's wonderful to have your organized transport workers who can stop shipping. We understand that we cannot ask you every week. But let's continue working on mining oil and gas, the link between production and transport. And together, we have shown that we can change the world. We have started in garment industry, and we will continue and organize workers in the world. Thank you.